2 days away. Pitt, Duquesne, at the ACC last night. First Pat Narduzzi show of the season, hosted by Patthew Bostic, who's with us until 8 o'clock today. And Pat Narduzzi, the head ball coach at the University of Pittsburgh, joins us now. How you doing, Pat? Good morning. Thank you for joining us today.
Hey, Adam. I'm doing great, man. How you guys doing?
We're great. We're great.
Outstanding.
All right, how you feeling 48 hours out?
You guys got Bostic again? I mean, this guy's got a lot of airtime.
How'd it go last night?
Outstanding. He's always good. He's always good. You gotta love the radio show.
So what are you feeling now 48 hours away from game day? You're going to wake up. You're going to be listening to tunes, driving to the stadium. Do you feel like you know what to expect going into this year?
No, I don't think you ever really know. You know, I think every team is different. I think this team is different than the year before. It's different, obviously, to 21. And, you know, you find out, you know, really what the chemistry of this football team is when, you know, there's adversity. You know, there are going to be a lot of unknowns. I mean, you're playing a different team you haven't practiced against, you haven't played against. That's, you know, going to come in, you know, really motivated that in the Acrisure Stadium. So you don't know what you're going to get. Formationally, on defense, you don't know, you know, what plays you're going to get. You don't know what coverages you're going to get. What changes have they made? So, still a lot of work to do.
Coach, Desmond Reed accomplished a heck of a lot last year. I mean, obviously an All-American, preseason All-American this year, one of the most dynamic players in college football. What's your expectation from him this season, knowing that he's already accomplished so much from last season? Like, what is your expectation, and what do you expect out of him this coming season? What are you putting on his plate?
Yeah, Dorn, you know, we're going to, you know, have the same expectations we had a year ago, that he played a high standard. We're looking for him to play at a high level like he did a year ago. I mean, I don't know if there's much more you can do when you're first team, you know, All-American. I mean, I think, you know, he needs to continue to do the same things and maybe do it a little bit better. I think he's bigger. I think he's stronger. And I think he's maybe faster than last year with Coach Stacchiotti and our strength crew down there. So, you know, just a little bit better than last year. I'll take that. That'll be good enough for us to win.
Coach, a lot of talk the offseason, obviously, about Kyle Lewis and Desmond Reed, but it's as much about other guys stepping up as it is about those guys continuing to be who they are. It's Pittsburgh Day, a Pittsburgh kid starting for you at safety in Cruz Brookins. I know there's been a lot of talk about his potential. What have you seen from him so far during camp, and what expectations do you have for him, another talented Western PA native at safety?
Yeah, you know, he's a ball hawk. I mean, he's a guy that is around it all the time, whether it's in the air or whether it's on the ground. He's a really good tackler. You know, he's taken over for a really good player, Donovan McMillan, a year ago, who congrats to him making that 53-man roster up at the Cleveland Browns. I know nobody likes to hear the Cleveland Browns, but I called that one. Pro Day, I called it. But Cruz Brookins, heck of a football player. You know, I'm looking for him to have a big year.
Pat, I look, you know, the last 10 years, you're one of, what, four teams that has won the ACC championship. You guys are returning a lot of guys. When we talked last time, you said there isn't a guy that you lost that you wanted to keep. And yet I see, like, the win total for betting lines, not that you need to comment on that, is 6.5. You're picked 9th in the ACC. Like, do you feel disrespected? And is that a rallying cry that you will use this year?
Not really. I mean, you know, what they say out there, that's probably what they had us picked back in 21 when we won a championship. So don't look at any of that thing. But guess what? Other people don't lose players too. And other players, you know, everybody's got scholarship. Everybody's got coaches. You know, everybody's working like we are. You know, and again, what separates us from everybody else in the country is what's going to happen at noon on Saturday. I mean, you know, everybody can have all these separations and these voting, you know, these freaking betting lines on how many wins and all that. That's great. You know, it's going to come down to what we do on Saturdays, and maybe 6 is too high. We better go out and play. I can guarantee you that. So, you know, there'll be an attitude out there, and our guys, you know, they're ready.
Hey, Coach, what have you seen out of Eli Holstein? Has he grown? He's going into his second year. And also Cade Bell, second year as an offensive coordinator. You know, obviously there has to be some growth in there between the two of them. What have you seen out of Eli to start it off?
Yeah, Doran, thanks for that great question. I've answered that question maybe like 30 times in the last month. But
how's Eli look, Coach?
31. You know, Eli's looked great. You know, like we're going to find out on game day. I mean, he's athletic. He's got an arm. You know, he's, you know, we pressured him a lot this offseason. I mean, like, he's played against every coverage you can imagine. I think we got about every coverage that you can possibly run in a football game in defensively. And again, you know, the big thing is, you know, he's dealt with it all. You know, I would assume Duquesne to try to pressure a lot because, you know, that's kind of what you do is, you know, hey, if you feel like things are not going as good as you want, you better put heat on them. So we expect a lot of pressure. We've seen a lot of pressure this week. Our line sees it every day. It's beautiful. You know, it could be a long day if they pressure every play.
You know, Coach, one member of your program won't be there Saturday, obviously, and Mason Alexander, who sadly passed away back in March. I know you guys have plans to honor him, and I believe his family will be there Saturday. I know it's about the game, but that has to be a special moment for your program.
It is. You know, we're going to celebrate, you know, Mason, his family. His mother, Kelly, will be there for the coin toss. It's, you know, and she doesn't want it to be a sad thing. She wants it to be a celebration. So, you know, we're going to grant her wishes. You know, it'll be a, you look back, you know, to that, you know, that day you know, there's not much to say. It's just, it's sad. Mason should be here with us, and unfortunately he's not, and we'll celebrate Mason.
There's no easy way to transition out of that, obviously, when you think about football and how important football is, but where it ranks among the most important things in life. But the other day, the West Virginia and Alabama series got canceled, and I was sort of hopeful. I know that we were sort of hopeful that the Backyard Brawl might get back on the schedule, Pat. I don't know if you have any comment on that. I know the ACC, you said the other day, could be going to 9 conference games. I don't know if that figured in or what happened there.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I'm worried about Duquesne. Worried about this 2025. Worried about the betting line of 6.5 games. All that stuff, you know, I'm worried about. You know, I'd love to play that game. That's my comment there. We'd love to play that game again next year. That's a fact. I think it's a game that should be played. I think rivalry games are important to college football. And we'll let the people make those decisions.
Pat, we appreciate the time. As always, thank you so much, and good luck on Saturday.
Appreciate it, guys. Hail to Pitt.
Thanks, Coach.
There he goes.
Pat Narduzzi.
It's not in the betting lines.
I set you up for failure there. I'm sorry. I had to ask him about that, though.
You know what? Because we do our hands.
That's why I pointed back to you to ask that first. I mean, the Mason thing, his family's going to be there. I know there's going to be more news coming out about how they're going to honor him throughout the course of the season. I mean, you could forget about stuff like that when it's 6 months ago, 5 months ago. But, you know, his locker's still in the facility.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about that all the time when, you know, I look at who's next to him. Imagine a locker mate, you know, and they have their pictures on their locker now. Like they have the digital locker with the photo and name and signature on it. And it's like, you look at that young man, it's full of life. And it's just, it is bigger than football. And you know, I know it's tough to transition from that question, but felt I had to ask.
Oh, for sure. I totally get why you asked it. And then I'm like, oh, hey, this football game that's not going to get played.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, listen, I don't want to speak out of turn, but I think, you know, there needs, where there's a will, there's a way with stuff like this. And in a world in which, and again, I don't know all the algorithms and data analytics points and so forth, but in a world where money, attendance, revenue, eyeballs, TV ratings for the ACC determining your cut, getting on national television matter, I saw a video the other day where Luke Combs said that, you know, his most underrated rivalry is Pitt, West Virginia.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it cuts through. So I played in it 4 times, or was a part of it 4 times, and think it should be played on Thanksgiving week every single year. That's my opinion, and it can be on the record.
Texter writes in, wow, West Virginia versus Alabama. Dudes couldn't have cared less, kind of like 99.9% of listeners in Pittsburgh. Well, are you dense? I mean, do you understand that we're talking about the Backyard Brawl?
Yeah, I missed the point there, didn't he?
A little bit.
That texter. I mean, There's a lot that has to get figured out. There's a lot you can't say.
And
with,
I guess
with some of these things too, because if you're under contract with a game, and again, I've seen these contracts, I have not read them verbatim, but you know, you start saying something, and all of a sudden, you know, you're not settling a deal. You're cutting a full check to somebody. So I think there's a lot the more that meets the eye with putting together schedules, and there's a lot that can happen in the 11th hour. I mean, 2020 was a perfect example, obviously with a global pandemic pushing it, forcing the issue of how quickly schedules can change and evolve. League meetings have to happen. Obviously, you're focused on playing now. ADs, coaches are focused on that. But I have no reason not to believe that Pitt and West Virginia isn't on the forefront of everyone's mind as we look forward for both programs factoring into major college football.
Absolutely. And it's a question that I think people want the answer to. And I'm guessing that if Rich Rod wasn't asked about it in West Virginia this week, he will be before the week is over. And I think Pat had the right answer. He had the right answer. Focused on Duquesne.
Yeah.
I focused on 2025, but I do think it's a question that needed to be asked.
Yep.
All right. I probably got too mad there. I'm sorry, Texter. You can text us, and I won't yell at you. Brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. You can tweet us. Brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. At the bottom of the hour, I mean, we do got to get into some of these big-time college football quarterback matchups this weekend. But coming up next, let's do the Pitt preview. Let's react to some of what Pat Narduzzi had to say. One of the biggest name mock draft dudes had the Steelers taking a quarterback, shocker, shocker, in round one of the 2026 draft. Who did he have the Steelers taking? Who said it? We'll talk about that. And then some of the great college football quarterback matchups this weekend coming up at the bottom of the hour. But I asked Pat Narduzzi about the 6.5 win total this year for Pitt because I think that is easy money on the over. I do. Like, I don't know that Pitt wins 10 games or 9 games or whatever. I know they're winning more than 6.5. Like, last year they started 7-0. And yeah, injuries and stuff derailed things, and they lost the final 6 games. But I actually had not looked at the win total until this year, and it's for plus money. Like, you bet Pitt over 6.5 wins, get a plus 105? I'm taking that. I feel damn good about taking that. You've said it multiple times. You got an All-American on defense and another guy who's playing linebacker that could absolutely
be an
All-American. I think Desmond Reed could be the all-purpose yards leader in all of college football this year. I think Eli Holstein was really good to start last season, got banged up. Going to be better this year in year two under Cade Bell's offense. We've seen that happen a million times in college football. Oh, year one, pretty good. Year two, wow.
Mm-hmm.
So 6.5 and plus money, I'm doing it.
I think the schedule is in their favor too. I don't think that there's like, you know, you're not getting the Clemsons. You're getting Notre Dame, which is obviously, you know, that's a, you know, independent, but they are AC, whatever. But Georgia Tech is going to be a tough game. Louisville is going to be a tough game, but they're not games that they can't win.
Right. You
know, they can win those games.
Yeah. I mean, your non-conference is very doable. Two home games to start. Basically, you're sleeping and you're in Pennsylvania for your game at that West Virginia. They're going to be very much in flux. It's a game you're probably going to be favored in on the road, I would think.
They're a 2.5-point favorite right now.
Or very close to it, depending on how things go. Louisville's going to tell you a lot.
Yeah. Coming off a bye week, too.
That's a preseason
bye week before that.
Yep. By preseason fringe top 25. They beat the tar out of you a year ago down there. Hall of Fame, all the things that it's a big game. Then you're at BC's at home, Florida State. I mean,
who knows?
You got Thomas Castellanos there. I mean, I don't make a lot of bold predictions, but I don't think that's gonna work. And I think Mike Norvell might be looking for a job at the end of this year. I think that Florida State might be looking for a coach. I think Thomas Castellanos, to put your eggs in that basket, and all he's done is talk smack all offseason on everybody else after he basically just
blew
the coop at BC. Syracuse, Steve Angeli, Fran Brown year two, like, you're going up there. They're gonna want blood. NC State at home. I don't know. Middle of the road, pick similar to Pitt. Stanford lost to Hawaii. You know, and then it gets – then, you know, if you're – 8-1, 7-2 at that point, or somewhere around there, you got a chance to make some noise. You got ND, Georgia Tech on the road, and then Carson Beck and the Hurricanes week 12. I mean, it's out there.
Yeah.
Well, and because of the way it finishes, too, and I hadn't really thought about that this until this exact second, the way it finishes, too, even if you're sitting there at 6-3, Notre Dame, Georgia Tech, Miami, I think Georgia Tech's going to be pretty good. I think a spot in the ACC championship game is still going to be in play there.
Yep.
And depending on how other things shake out, that's an opportunity for three quality wins. The playoff could be there, even if you're sitting there at 6-3, because those are three opportunities there at the end of the year.
There's no question. And, I mean, the Notre Dame game is going to be a huge, it always is, a huge pedestal, a huge platform to prove yourself. And they've got a young quarterback. They've got two young quarterbacks that were vying for the job, and C.J. Carr won it. Obviously, their tailback's all world, and they're going to be good up front on both sides. But from a skill position standpoint, you know, Pitt could give them some problems. So I'm very curious to see how things progress. Obviously, week one and week two, you'll learn a little bit. Week three, you'll learn a lot more. And I think week four, when it comes to where you stack in the ACC, you know, if you come out 3-0, beat West Virginia on the road, and then beat Louisville, I think the conference is on watch.
Yes.
But it comes down to, you know, the stars have to remain stars. You got to have a couple guys emerge. And Eli Holstein needs to improve and be more consistent than he was a year ago. The moments of magic will be there. I am confident of that. He will scramble around and make plays and all those things. It's going to be the down-in, down-out consistency that him and Cade Bell in year two have that will ultimately, I think, set this team's ceiling for 2025.
I like how the offensive line is constructed this year, and it comes down to that, too. I mean, we saw last year that, you know, the protection just wasn't there, and that had, you know, injuries had to do with that. But the way it's constructed right now, I mean, we'll see clearly how the season goes. I mean, I like Lyndon Cooper coming back. I like B.J. Williams being back, and I like Ryan Barrett being back. And then you have two transfers on the other side. You have two transfers that you brought in to really solidify this offensive line and, you know, having – some opportunities to see them in practice, it does look a little bit different. There seems to be a confidence in the air with that offensive line that we got to protect our guy because we got him banged up a lot last year.
Yeah.
A lot last year. You got to protect the quarterback, and I think that they're going to take that as a big challenge this year going into the season of holding up and doing their job and protecting it.
Yeah, and I'll tell you last thing. I know Adam doesn't want to chime in on all this Pitt talk.
Oh, I'm just letting you guys – you guys are the experts on Pitt.
But you've been to a few practices, and looking at this defense, I remember the first time I walked out of practice. A, there's a lot of guys I know, which it can be good and bad in college football these days, but in this case, it's a lot of really good players. What really jumped out at me is just the overall length of the group. I mean, the linebackers aren't, you know, you don't have, you know, big, you know, what's his name? Bill Romanowski. At middle linebacker, right, stacked with a neck roll on. You got a bunch of guys that can run sideline to sideline, can make plays on the ball, you know, are freakishly athletic in Lewis and Biles, kind of a smart Servassier Dennis type player inside. But then the secondary is massive. They're all 6'1 plus.
Yeah, they're
your corners are 6'2 and 6'3.
Yep.
And can run. And when they jam, the thing about it is when they press you, you got a guy that's 5'9 pressing you, you know, hitting you with his arm. You got a guy that's 6'3 locking you out.
Mm-hmm.
And the way they play, I mean, you talk about giving a front seven more time to get home. When you got a guy that can get his hands on you up on the line of scrimmage and you've got to deal with those levers and then the size of, hey, it's a one-on-one ball. I got to go up and get it over a 6'2" dude, not a 5'9" guy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm anxious to watch this defense play.
Yeah.
I just think it's as athletic a group from top to bottom. They don't have Kalijah Kancey. They don't have Aaron Donald. Got Kyle Lewis, pretty damn good. But top to bottom, maybe the most athletic, rangy defense Pat Narduzzi's had.
I can't stress enough how important it is for a team to become really good, to have good on good every day. And that's the thing that jumped out to me is like whenever you have good on good and you're practicing with your ones – and your offense is practicing against your defense, and your defense is just good, as good as your offense, and you're competing every single day, that makes you so much better. And, you know, going back into our days, I mean, that's where I learned that was in 2009. We were good on good, and it was every day. Like, there wasn't anybody better that I was going to have to block in a game that was better than Jabal Sheard.
Right.
And I was doing that every day.
Yeah.
That made me so much better. And that's what jumped out at me was there's a lot of good on good here in practice.
Yep.
So the competition level was very high, and if they could take it into the season and really execute and finish this year, they'll be all right.
Reese Davis has him in the playoff. We talked about that the other day.
That was you watch
compliment,
it.
Compliment sandwich.
It was fair.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It was fair. I mean, going back to our days, yeah, we would jump down the mine shaft here and there and lose games. Back to the 21 team that lost to Western Michigan. You know, I mean, they've got an opportunity to go out and make some noise, and they've got a lot of chip on that shoulder from last year. Disrespect, you know, some of it your own doing. It's their oyster, man. And I think I do think the good on good component has been palpable at practice. I mean, if you're Eli Holstein and you've got to deal with Kyle Lewis and Rasheem Biles blitzing you 40% of the time in practice, you're not going to get much more duress in a game. Now, you know you can't get hit or shouldn't get hit, but when you got a cruise missile coming at you, sometimes it's hard. You go out into a game and it should be easier. And that, I know you guys are going to have Coach Wanstead on. I remember him talking about that, about the Cowboys. During Super Bowl week, they were tackling. You know, their guys getting fights.
Your coach would get arrested if you did that now.
And that's what practice has been like to some degree.
Yeah.
And I'm not waxing poetic or speaking hyperbole here. Like, there was legitimately back and forth every single day where there was a period here that the offense won, a period here the defense won. And as a head coach, you struggle in camp. I can only imagine, like, who do I want to win?
Right.
And I think Pat sees things through the defense's lens.
Yes.
But when you go at the end of the day, you're like, it's a tug of war. Like you talked about it at the kickoff luncheon, and that middle point keeps going back and forth. I think that's a sign of a team that could be pretty good.
Yep.
So we'll find out.
Tackles are friggin' massive.
Yeah. And they're all lighter than they were a year ago. Think about that. You go from Coach Cignetti's offense, which huddled, ran power, ran, you know, wide zone, you know, under center, to we're running a play every 9 seconds and going warp speed. And Brian Bear goes from being 340 to 315 at right tackle. It's going to help.
Yep.
In playing in an offense that's more driven by the pass and a little bit more by deception than it is brute force. So that transition's had a year to set in too, which I don't think you could understate.
All right. When we come back, more college ball talk, but it relates to the Steelers because there's like 8 guys that could be first-round quarterbacks. I don't think that many are going to get drafted in the first round, but this is when you start separating yourself, when you start falling back, and there's some great games this weekend that showcase these quarterbacks. So we'll tell you what games to watch, what we'll be watching for, and we'll tell you which mock drafter had Garrett Nussmeier going to the Pittsburgh Steelers. We might have a special guest coming up next on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Guys, I think we need to give ourselves a round of applause before we get into this topic here.
I'm not clapping. Yeah, I don't know what it is.
We freaking made it, guys.
Oh.
Like, week zero is all fun and games, and you had a great Big 12 matchup. Game was kind of ugly to start in Ireland last week between two ranked teams, but like, it's back tonight, friends, in bulk. There's a whole bunch of games tonight. 5:30, Boise State, South Florida. Little Ohio Rutgers at 6. And then you got the big one being played in Kansas City, Nebraska against Cincinnati, where they couldn't even get the field right, where you've still got the Chiefs logo under the Nebraska, or you get the Chiefs. It just says Chiefs under the Nebraska in the end zone. I'm so scared about everything. That's at 9 p.m. But it's these quarterbacks. Hey, we all love college football. We're going to consume as much college football as we possibly can, but now there's the Steelers element to all of it. Field Yates has Garrett Nussmeier as the Steelers' first-round pick here in August for next year's NFL draft. So here's a bunch of guys. Manning, Nussmeier, Sellers, Klubnik, Aller, Fernando Mendoza. There's others that are going to jump. Some are going to fall out of the first round. But you have Klubnik and Nussmeier head-to-head, mano-a-mano this weekend. Who do we like out of this group, and who are we most excited about seeing?
I mean, we're not going to be able to watch it, but I think the most exciting and intriguing matchup is Arch Manning. Not that he's going head-to-head with another potentially top 10 quarterback, but he's going against the former national championship team. Like, and they're going to be, Ohio State's always going to be good. I don't even know what they have. I know Julian Sand is their quarterback this year, but I know that they, and obviously Jeremiah Smith, but like, I don't know what they have on defense, but I know it's going to be good.
Right. You know, like,
and it's going to be one of Arch Manning's biggest tests. I mean, Arch Manning already anointed the number one pick by a lot of outlets and a lot of people going into the 2026 draft. And we're going to find out real quick. We're going to find out real quick if he has it. I mean, how could you not be intrigued by that matchup? We're not going to be able to watch it. I mean, but yeah. I'm anxious to hear what the end results is going to be of that game.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many intriguing prospects in the class. I've been slow to say it's the best class since whatever, you know, Elway and Marino, and, you know, we'll find out. But, you know, that first matchup, the head-to-head between Klubnik of Clemson and obviously Nussmeier of LSU, people are going to cite that game in April at the draft and say they played head-to-head and so-and-so got the better of them. And one of them may win a national championship, but that game will still be relevant because they were head-to-head and it was the first week of the season. And it also happens to be, among all of them, probably the two safest bets for any franchise that's going to draft a quarterback. And a guy in Klubnik that's a three-year starter, Nussmeier the same, both are high pedigree, both haven't had a lot of volatility or up and down in their career. All they've done is really win. I think Klubnik's got more athletic ability. I think Nussmeier's the most accurate quarterback in this draft class, probably with the least upside physically. Lenore Sellers is a freak. I mean, Drew Aller.
They got Virginia Tech.
We're not going to know anything about Drew Aller until the playoff, in my opinion. You know, his completion percentage was 65% during the regular season. It dropped to 55% in the playoffs last year.
He was terrible. He's terrible.
And in that game against Notre Dame, I mean, he was awful. And do guys have those types of games? Absolutely. But that burden won't be lifted. And if he goes and they make it to the national championship or win it, heaven forbid, they win the national championship and he plays well, he will without question be the number one overall pick. Unless Arch Manning lights the world on fire. Because if you watch a guy throw and you put all the measurables together and he's able to not resurrect himself, but come back from that Notre Dame game, walk into the fire, the cauldron again, and come out on the other side, a la Kenny Pickett, what he was able to do in 21, and go have a special year and play well to boot, I think he's got the most upside maybe of anyone absent Sellers and Manning.
See, that's exactly where I was going to go with Aller. Like, I wish that this game at 12 p.m. on Saturday was Texas against Penn State.
Yeah.
We'd get a lot of answers. A lot of answers of Drew Aller. Instead of Texas playing Ohio State, I wish it was Penn State. Now we know Penn State would never do that. And they would never, you know, get that on the schedule.
No, they got Nevada, Florida International, right, and Villanova.
Exactly. Like, I wish it was Texas, Penn State, because you would automatically be like, okay, well, this is the ultimate test for Drew Aller. Like, whatever he does the rest of the season, okay, that's great. But, like, this right here, week one, we will know if he is capable of winning a big game.
Well, the thing about him, and sorry to cut you off, is what's going to hold him back a little bit is a great problem to have, or two of the best tailbacks in college football. And an offensive coordinator that schemes up the run about as good as anybody. So, to go win 11 games during the regular season, I don't need him to throw for 500 yards. Like, I don't think his stats, absent from one or two games, are going to be like, wow, he was 36 of 48 for 497 and 5 touchdowns. Now, he might go 12 of 15 or 18 of 20 for 225 and 2 touchdowns, but Singleton and company will carry the day. And that's how they're built. I mean, he's got more around him, more proven around him than maybe anybody in the country.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and a really good defense to boot. So that's why I say the playoff, until it's on the line, Big Ten championship, maybe there's a little bit of opportunity there. until it's on the line and he's got to go win the game, that's the biggest question mark about him, is what will he do in the biggest moment when they need the ball's in his hands?
Circle it. Saturday, September 27th against Oregon. You will learn nothing about Drew Aller before that point. But that's the first massive game Penn State's schedule. We have a special guest, perhaps, joining us coming up next. Before the games begin with all these quarterbacks, give me a name. Like, ideally, who you'd like to be the Steelers QB out of this class?
Drew Aller.
Who they draft or who's their starting quarterback next year?
Who they draft.
Okay, because I want Aaron Rodgers to be their starting quarterback next year.
Me too. We might get into that a little bit more at 8.
Well, I'll be leaving.
Call in.
I would say Lenore Sellers.
Me too. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Pat Bostic says he wants Rodgers to be the quarterback again next year. Well, we'll get into that a little bit at the top of the 8 o'clock hour. Right now, special guest, the voice of the Pitt Panthers, Hall of Famer, Billy Hilly, Bill Hillgrove. Good morning, Bill. I got to put him through, I think. I'll do it again. Good morning, Bill. Sorry about that. How you doing?
Oh, I'm great. How about you guys?
We're fantastic.
Awesome, Paul. Right. Ready to roll. Hey,
football season's here.
Bill, 86 years. It's been since Pitt played Duquesne. Are you excited about this matchup? I believe that you're a Duquesne graduate. Who are you?
I remember that game, by the way.
Oh, do you? You remember that game?
Yeah. As I tell people, I've been with Pitt so long. My kids grew up there. I've become part of the family. You know, it's not a difficult thing. I'll root for the alma mater, but probably not in this game.
Yeah, 86 years is a long time. But I kind of joked with Pat Narduzzi last night at his coach's show that not many teams are preparing for their opener with their opponent less than a mile away. It is an interesting dynamic, although the transfer portal changes things. But what can you say about the Dukes? Coach Jerry Schmidt, obviously there for 21 years, has done a fine job with them. They're reigning. They tied for the conference championship last year in the NEC.
But a program on the rise, a program, and this is something the Panthers have to pay attention to, that, you know, every one of their offensive line starters is a senior. And, you know, they're experienced. They've got transfers, a lot of new people, like a lot of teams do. But, you know, Jerry's done a fantastic job there. And, you know, I could tell by Pat Narduzzi's comments at his news conference on Monday that, you know, he really has high regard for Jerry. And, you know, I guess Jerry's been to Pitt practices, and, you know, that's going to add another element to this game on Saturday. But I think everybody's looking forward to it. Let's face it, the last time they played, they were both powers. Duquesne was a power, had just been to the Orange Bowl. And, you know, but those things have changed over the years. And unfortunately, the Catholic schools have gotten away from football. For many, many reasons, many of them economic. But, you know, I think this is a good game for the fans.
Well, and Bill, I mean, Pitt's going to have revenge on their mind. I mean, 86 years ago, they took a tough L, 21-13 to them Dukes.
Pat Narduzzi went to show the film, but it broke.
That would have been black and white.
Yep.
I mean, projector, leather maybe? Helmets. Cool. How many forward passes do we think were thrown in that game?
I doubt many. There were many because, you know, it was single wing. Everything was single wing back in those days.
We got a text last night from our friend Dr. Rick Gratisek. Said, factoid, it's a revenge game for me. In the 1939 loss, his dad, Rudy, I believe his first name was a starting offensive guard for Pitt in that game. So there is revenge amongst the Pitt faithful on the mind.
Yeah, how big would a starting guard have been back then? 200 pounds?
200.
Maybe?
Soaking wet.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'd have been a giant for sure. That's how much the game has changed. But, you know, I think it's a good game for the fans. It's a good game for Duquesne, obviously, because, you know, they're going to take on, what, Florida State? They've already done that. They've kind of upgraded their schedule. But, you know, they'll be a power in the Northeast Conference, and I think it'll be a fun year for them, as it will be for the Panthers. You know, the Panthers are improved. There's no question. Now they got to keep some people healthy, including the QB. But, you know, I think earlier this week, Cade Bell talked about the team has adjusted well to what he wants in tempo. And, you know, that's always a tough thing for new players in a new system, is adjusting to trying to snap the ball every 12 seconds. So I think it's all going to be fun to watch.
How many years is this going to mark in the booth for you, Bill?
I've lost track. I think 57.
Man.
No, that's football. That's basketball. I get them confused. I have too many first downs in a basketball game. But
Bill.
No. I think it's 51 or 52. that's for historians to worry about. I worry about the next snap, and I think that tunnel vision has served me well.
Well, we're looking forward to hearing you again, Bill, and we appreciate you jumping on. We'd love to do it every week here.
Yeah, I look forward to it, gentlemen, and may the best team win.
We'll see you on Saturday, partner.
All right.
Thanks, Bill.
The great Bill Hillgrove. Thank you. I love that guy.
He's the best.
He is the best.
50 whatever years, those pipes, man.
He still loves it as much as he ever has. Like it's such a. I mean, for him to get up at 7:45 on a Thursday morning, you know, I mean, shoot.
Let's go.
He just, you know, pays to love what you do.
We're back.
It's ball, rock,
pill,
pigskin.
Matriculate the ball down the field, 3 yards, cloud of dust. Let's go.
Tote the rock.
Yeah. Bought the ball.
Pound the pill.
All right, Pat. Thank you.
Appreciate you guys adjusting your schedule for me. I will see you, Doran, Saturday.
Yes, sir.
Crowley, I'll see you next week.
We'll see you
next week. Maybe I'll probably see you somewhere this weekend, maybe in Mount Lebanon. Actually, you're going to be on your couch. Probably won't see you.
Yeah, the only time I get off my couch this weekend is to pee. That's
and maybe
it.
You and I will meet at the old McFarland's on McFarland and have a pop.
We should. We should all watch ball together this weekend. Not going to happen. All right, fan weather brought to you by See You, Pat. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group. Oh, it's football weather. Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. High of 73, low of 49, partly cloudy.